A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The Lord said, "Woe to you who build the memorials of the prophets, whom your fathers killed. Consequently, you bear witness and give consent to the deeds of your ancestors, for they killed them, and you do the building. Therefore, the wisdom of God said, 'I will send to them prophets and apostles. Some of them they will kill and persecute, in order that this generation might be charged with the blood of all the prophets shed since the foundation of the world, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who died between the altar and the temple building. Yes, I tell you, this generation will be charged with their blood. Woe to you, scholars of the law! You have taken away the key of knowledge. You yourselves did not enter, and you stopped those trying to enter.' When Jesus left, the scribes and Pharisees began to act with hostility toward him and to interrogate him about many things, for they were plotting to catch him at something he might say." The Gospel of the Lord. We have a rather convoluted gospel text. I'm not going to worry about some of the historical details as to which prophets are how accurate and whether, in fact, Zechariah was killed between the altar and the temple building. Rather, what is it that is disturbing to the scribes and Pharisees that make them turn against Jesus? Obviously, they perceive this as an attack on them, which it is. But what is it that disturbs them? Some of it, of course, is the language of Jesus. Earlier this same week, we had a text: "Woe to you, this evil generation, you seek a sign, and no sign will be given you except the sign of Jonah." And here we have something very similar. "Yes, I tell you, this generation will be charged with the blood of all those who have been persecuted before. Woe to you, also scholars of the law." We so easily can, and I myself do, think of how I can apply this to others, especially in our world today, which seems to have gone, if one might say, even more awry than one could have expected. But what I would like to suggest is, let us use the reading as a suggestion for us to look at ourselves in the mirror. It is easy to say, "Woe to you, civil leaders. Woe to you who do this or that." But what if Jesus is speaking here to me? What if he's talking to me? In a way, what's being suggested is how we can kind of look at the past, which in its own way was prophetic, and honor it without living prophetic lives ourselves today. Jesus says, "Woe to you who build the memorials of the prophets whom your fathers killed." I think in my own country of someone like Martin Luther King, killed, and today we honor, I honor, we revere, we respect. But what do I do in my own time and in my own period of history, say, to alleviate racism? In one way, it's easy to build a memorial to the past. And even in so doing, we can trivialize it. And I think to some degree, that's what Jesus is saying here. You build memorials to those whom your ancestors killed. In building the memorial, you in some ways dismiss the tragedy, the outrageousness. You do not acknowledge the guilt of your ancestors, it's almost as if you think you can compensate for it by now building the memorial, by now listening to Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech. But the only thing that really would be a true memorial to the prophets, to those who have gone before us, to those prophetic figures, is if we follow in their footsteps, if in some way we take up their cross. Not that we are to do exactly what they did, but we need to ask ourselves the question, what am I called to do, to be at this moment in my history? Where we find violence, persecutions, prejudice all around the world. Indeed, this is an occasion for me to look in the mirror and ask, what do I see? Do I see someone living a prophetic life? Or if that's too strong, do I see someone who's willing to take up the cross and be a disciple? Am I someone who's willing, to use Bonhoeffer's expression, to toss aside cheap grace and realize that discipleship is truly costly? There are so many examples we could give as we attempt to live in solidarity with persecuted Christians and many persecuted throughout the world. But I think just one example that looms so large as we ponder the impact of the various migrations around the world. Immigrants, refugees, exiles. How much is too much? How would I vote if I were, say, in Austria or Germany or France or Italy or here in the United States? Is it time to build a wall? Is that the way to go? There is no easy solution. But what I do know is what Christ has said, that we are called upon to neighbor one another, to make room and space, as the Good Samaritan did, in our lives for those who don't easily sit there. Do I struggle in my own way to keep the memory of the prophets alive by raising my voice in protest against injustice, oppression? So, rather than taking what could appear as a kind of antiquated text and Jesus being upset with people of his generation, if I take Jesus as speaking to me today and saying, woe to you, you do a disservice to all those that you supposedly honor and respect if you can't take their example and follow in their footsteps. It's not always easy to hold a mirror up to ourselves, to my generation, or to the country from which I come. But sometimes looking in a mirror and hearing Jesus' voice saying, take up the cross, come follow me, learn what it means to be a disciple.